prayer, we will begin our contemplation for a few moments. I said Hebrews, I meant 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We have a picture here in this part of 1 Corinthians of worship. There is a distortion that is taking place in Corinth that Paul is correcting. The celebration that the Corinthians have done, basically turning it into a common meal, Paul calls them into check about that. And what he tells them and what we need to see from this is he helps us see that worship is person-centered. And so he will say, "For I received from the Lord," verse 23, "that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner also he took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Worship is not an event. Worship is a time of devotion and admiration. When Israel would step outside the tent and they would see the majesty of God, they would pause and be in awe, and it would be expressed by either them bowing or kneeling. To bow or to kneel before God Almighty. Here in Corinth, they have forgotten that. And so he calls them to something. He calls them to remember. He puts before them a memorial. A memorial is not in order to remember. A memorial is because we remember. We come to this time of memorial, not in order to remember, but we come because we remember, and we remember a person. Turning back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" I think there's something significant about this memorial that we need to pay attention to. And I don't want to sound critical or condescending in any way with this observation. But notice he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless. The cup of thanksgiving which we speak well of." Often we say, "Lord, bless this bread or bless this cup." The Lord's already done that. We come to the table because we remember, and we bless this bread, we bless this cup. What that simply means is we speak the good things about this memorial and these two elements in the memorial. If someone does something kind for you, just out of the blue, or maybe at a significant point in your life, and you begin to tell somebody about it, let me tell you what Bruce did for me. Let me tell you how he helped me. And so I go along and I tell all the things that he has done for me and that he provided for me. I'm blessing. That's speaking well of. There's something that we bless in this communion of the bread and the cup. When you go to Pearl Harbor and you take the ferry over to the Arizona, it is a time of somberness and quietness as you read the names of those individuals that are entombed in Arizona just beneath your feet in the bay there. You look over and you see the Arizona, you see the oil still leaking out of that sunken ship. People don't come by the hordes to Arizona to remember. They come because they remember. Maybe you've had the occasion to go to Washington, D.C. and to see the Vietnam Wall, the memorial there to the Vietnam veterans. It's not unusual in the time that I was there observing it, in which someone that has come because they remember to ask the park ranger, can you please take a pencil and shade the name of this person off this wall for me? There's someone there, they come because this memorial there, they remember that person. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's just a friend. Maybe a friend has said, when you go there, please find this name for me. When we come to this memorial, there is no doubt. There's no removing. All the brutality that took place on that day when Christ was scourged and when he carried his own cross and when he was nailed hands and feet to the cross between heaven and earth. All the gruesome details are there. There's no doubt. But when we come to remember, it's not the gruesome details that we come to remember. Because they were part of the crucifixion. But it's the person that is there that we've come to remember. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about remembering his body and remembering his blood. We call this a memorial feast. We put that as the umbrella. But there are two elements. They're not the same. And it's important to understand the purpose and the distinction of those two elements, that we don't just partake of half the supper. The first he calls attention to is we bless the cup, but he will say we bless this bread. The bread is a memorial to the body of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, Himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins, we might live with righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed, for we are like sheep have gone astray. Notice what he says, who himself bore our sins in his own body. Jesus has been called the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb was not a sacrifice. The Passover lamb was slain, and the blood was on the doorpost and the lintel. And the messenger of God that came to cause death to the firstborn of everyone in Egypt passed over the house of the Hebrews. Jesus Christ is put on the cross. Pilate has said, this man is innocent. I see no cause for him to be crucified. He gave in to the popular opinion of the day, the demands of the crowd, and tried to excuse himself from it. But why is he there in his body? He is there for us. He is the Passover lamb. That when God sees the Passover lamb, he will pass over our sins. The word propitiation is used in the New Testament. It is a word that is synonymous with the word atonement in the Old Testament. And a part of that atonement was the priest would take his hand and he would put his hand on the goat, and the goat would be sent away. He would be carried away. The burden would be carried away. The idea of propitiation or atonement is a burden bearer. And in his body, he bore our burdens. When you partake of the bread, it is a memorial to he was mocked, he was chastised, he was beaten, he was despised. They did not esteem him. All Isaiah will say in chapter 53, verse 2 and down through verse 10. The body is about the consequences. The body of Jesus is not about forgiveness. The body has to do with the consequences and the deliverance from those consequences, because on him have been placed, on him, he is our burden bearer to carry away our burdens, those sins, to be our deliverer, so we have been delivered. But we come to the second element, and we bless this cup. We speak well of this cup. He said, which is a memorial to my blood. Yes, the spear pierced his side and the water gushed forth along with the blood. The prophecy was true that not a bone was broken. But it's not just simply the fact that the spear pierced the side and the water and the blood flowed forth from the side. That's part of it. He says, the Hebrew writer will say in chapter 9, if there is no death sacrifice, there is no forgiveness of sins. While the body looked at deliverance, the fruit of the vine looks at forgiveness. It required his death sacrifice. It required his offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. In one image, the bread, he bore our sins in his body. He was the one that carried them away. We were delivered. But the next, he is the slain lamb. And that lamb would be slain on the altar, and the blood would be sprinkled at the feet of the altar. And then the blood would be taken into the Holy of Holies and would be offered by the priest as an atonement, a sacrifice for the sins of all Israel. The blood of bulls and goats for all time was not sufficient. For that day of atonement, the sins of the previous year had been forgiven, but they had to come back the next year and the next year and the next year. But now Christ on the cross has offered his blood, himself as a death sacrifice, to provide blood that will redeem us. It will be the ransom price to redeem us, to buy us back. We sold ourselves into the price we can pay. We sacrifice any standing before God that has any merit of sinlessness whatsoever. It's going to require a death for us, a sacrifice for us. And Christ said, I'll be that lamb. John points out to Andrew, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Simeon tells Mary at his circumcision, he shall be thrust through with a spear, but he shall give himself as salvation for many. That salvation comes as a result of forgiveness. That forgiveness is offered because he became the death sacrifice, willingly laying himself on the altar that his blood could be offered as a ransom price for our redemption. And we could be set free. Under the old law, you had two lambs. You had the lamb that bore the burden that carried the sins away. Then you had the lamb that was sacrificed. One was just slain. The other was sacrificed. Jesus is that lamb that is the burden bearer that bears those sins in his body. And all the marks are there. There's no doubt. He did not deserve them. He bears those marks for us in His body. But then we are set free. We have our forgiveness because He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So when we come to this memorial and we partake of the bread, we remember the body and what He's done in the body. And we remember the fruit of the vine. We remember what His purchase price, the purchase price that was required that we could have our salvation. Two lambs. Jesus, the Passover lamb, and the Lamb of God that takes away our sins.